Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
And a good Monday morning to you. Thanks for joining us. All right, we have reached the point now where we are in the NBA playoff mode. But what kind of playoff mode are we in? We're going to look at some of the first round matchups. More importantly, there's a larger picture to this. Does the NBA need a good postseason in 2020-2021? This 72-game year that began in December, does it need an exciting postseason? What did we make of last year's postseason that was sort of delayed and delayed due to COVID and then played in a bubble where all sorts of different rules were in place? Yes, we got a champion, and yes, we got a tournament, and yes, we even had great moments in that tournament. Guys playing up to the level. We saw the Denver Nuggets, for example, come back from 2-3-1 deficits in the postseason. We saw LeBron and the Lakers win the title as the best team. No real controversies and whatnot, and it was executed pretty flawlessly by the NBA. But now it's time to start sending teams back on the road again, the series that you sort of know and love. But the NBA is at a crossroads because the ratings are down and excitement for this league is not quite as what it used to be. And when you look at where the Eastern Conference is, what's the big story there? The Knicks? What's the big story in the West? The Lakers have to be in the play-in tournament against Steph Curry? If I'm Adam Silver, I'm a little concerned about what is the draw for the average fan that could take or leave the NBA playoffs. Now, those who are diehard basketball fans, I think it's, you know, you're just watching whatever. You still got some credible storylines with a super team in Brooklyn. Philadelphia's fantastic. Giannis in Milwaukee still trying to win a title. The Knicks are just getting back not only into the postseason, but a team that looks like they're threatening to be a factor in the way the East runs. In the West, good basketball teams, even if we don't really know the full rosters or really have some recognizable feelings with Utah, Phoenix, and Denver as the top three seeds there. But does Adam Silver need to worry about where this playoff is going? We'll talk about that coming up as we continue along. Thanks for joining us on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's, on Sports Map Radio. This is Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, and happy Monday to you as we get ready to start the week, and also ready to start the NBA playoffs. So we kind of wrap this 72-game season up. Yesterday, with all of the games being done, trade up any non-contact thermometer for a $5 rebate towards an Exogen purchased in any retailer. Accuracy matters more than ever when taking temperature. Published research shows non-contact models miss 5 out of 6 fevers. Upgrade to Exogen, the only home forehead thermometer proven accurate by published peer-reviewed clinical studies. Details at Exogen.com. All right, so what do we got in the postseason, and why is it important for Adam Silver? Well, look, We just had an interesting last 18 months where we shut down the NBA and then got it back in the bubble format. And then we rushed to get a season back underway right after we crowned a champion. And in the process, the sports in general, but mostly also in the NBA, sports dove into the political limelight. It made some, you know, political stances on issues that were affecting the country. And it alienated a group of people that said they didn't want politics mixed with sports. And maybe some disagreed with some of the messages some of the players were sending. And we saw the ratings kind of go down, especially in the bubble last year in the postseason. Now, look, as far as leagues go, you know, ratings for these events do affect how they negotiate broadcasting rights in the future. But you can overcome some bad ratings moments. You know, you can have dips in audience participation and still make out because it's still a competitive business to get live sports for your network. But for the NBA, this has been kind of an ongoing trend for a little bit. But one of the things about this league, and it's been this way pretty much forever, is that it is a players' league. You can have the NCAA tournament, for example, in college basketball. You don't necessarily need Duke or Kentucky or the Blue Bloods to play well. The tournament itself, the nature of that event, the fact that we're filling out brackets, kind of lends itself to being more of the story than anything, right? But in the NBA, that's not the case. These are standard seven-game series. It's a standard playoff format. They've mixed it up a little bit this year with this play-in tournament for the 7, 8, 9, and 10 seeds. But in the end, these are going to be long, drawn-out series. And if you're the NBA and you're trying to get people to be interested in this, you need an interesting element to it. If you're going to overcome some of the sort of people who said, look, I can live without this. I don't need this. I don't like the politics of it, so I'm not going to watch. Then you have to bring in and bring back the people that may have been alienated by the politics, but sort of can forgive it if you give them a good product on the court. So what's a good product on the court? Well, you've got this play-in tournament, which, again, I don't like, but I understand why they did it. Because of the, you know, sort of the larger everybody get involved in the postseason conversation that you're trying to do if you're the NBA. But look what it has in the West. It has a play-in game with featuring the Lakers and the Warriors. Now, these are the two Western Conference juggernauts in the past six or seven years, right? With LeBron coming off the title run and Steph Curry and the Warriors when they were the kings of the sport. One of these teams is going to lose this play-in tournament and have their backs to the wall playing either Memphis or San Antonio. Now, look, it's not to say that the Lakers and the Warriors aren't going to get the 7 and 8 seeds. They probably will. But you never know, and it's a little dangerous right now. Because, like I said, the loser of this 7-8 game is going to be in a one-and-done situation. And that, I mean, look, I don't care who you are, where you are. We see it in college basketball way too often. I don't care how good you are. When you have a one game to get it done scenario, anything is possible. So it is possible that one of these two teams that has tremendous star power, almost universal star power across the country, two megastars that have gone beyond their sport to become stars on a larger stage. One of them could be facing elimination. One of them is going to be facing elimination. Let's check that. One of them is. The other one is going to be secure in a 7 seed where they're going to face Phoenix. Now, I will say this. We in sports, we have a tendency to see stars within our sport. And sometimes we don't recognize that they're not really stars on the same level as other stars. I used to always say when I was a kid, if my mother knew who you were a big star when it came to sports. My mother wasn't a sports fan. But if she knew who you were, that meant you transcended the sports world and you went into some sort of next level celebrity that even my mother would recognize who you were. LeBron James has that. Steph Curry has that. Donovan Mitchell doesn't. Devin Booker doesn't. Nikola Jokic is likely going to win the MVP. He doesn't either. Those are the top three seeds in the Western Conference right now. Now, basketball junkies like myself, possibly you, we can see the great matchups. We love the story of the Utah Jazz. That was a good team that was really coming together in the bubble last year. And now the number one seed in a loaded Western Conference. Phoenix, the same thing, rising from the ashes, no pun intended. Same story in the bubble, right? A team that was really coming together, didn't make the postseason, but impressed a lot of people. Like you felt like Phoenix was building something. But can you sell that? Can you sell these teams, these top three teams, Utah, Phoenix, and Denver, to a sports culture that I know a little of the NBA, and I know a lot of the guys, but, you know, I used to make this conversation, talk about the Giannis Antetokounmpo all the time. I remember in the early part of his career, you knew he was going to be a star, a megastar. But I always said there's a level that you have to, there's like this sort of Rubicon you have to cross, right? In terms of being where everybody who loves the NBA knows who you are, to everybody who just kind of follows sports, even on the periphery, they know who you are. And I was like, there's a moment where Giannis has to kind of cross over there and to be in that next place. And the guys that are stars in the West, of the top teams in the West, they haven't done that yet. Now, Kawhi Leonard for the Clippers, he's won a championship. Luka Doncic is ready to make that move himself. But if you're the NBA and you're looking for a sort of bounce back to the ratings, maybe not, where it used to be, but just sort of better than it has been over the last couple of years, somehow, some way, you got to make sure that there is an attractive star quality to what you're putting out on the court. Look at the East, for example. The Brooklyn Nets are a super team. But are we sure? They've only played 8 times together, the 3 of them. James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant. 8 times. We have not gotten a steady diet of what those 3 guys can do. We've had Harden with the hamstring, a number of injuries. Kyrie's played, sometimes takes nights off. It hasn't been some level of consistency where you are saying going into this postseason, I think Brooklyn is going to win it all. They have been rolling this season with those 3 guys. You know, we don't know. We're assuming because we all sort of play sort of video game basketball in our head, saying, well, if I had these 3 guys in my PlayStation system, I'd run through the tournament. But we're not sure. The best story out of the East is the Knicks. Why? Because the Knicks have been irrelevant for a number of years. And it's good to see them back on this larger stage. Is this what Adam Silver wants? Right? I mean, the NBA, again, LeBron James at the center point of a lot of the political conversation, right? He puts himself into a lot of political issues that alienate a lot of people. But I've always said, look, I don't begrudge him that. He is an American citizen. He has every right to state his case on what he feels is right and wrong about American society, just as anybody else. Right. I have said many times the shut up and dribble crowd needs to sit back and realize what they're saying, because what they're saying is unless you work in some other profession, you're allowed to speak. But if you work in these professions, you're not. That's not true. It doesn't matter if you're an NBA superstar or a plumber or a teacher or a cop. It doesn't matter who you are. You can have political comments and state your beliefs on any social platform that you want, whether you have 10 followers or 10 million followers. So I don't begrudge LeBron any of that. But what I always had a problem with LeBron is going back to what we're talking about on the larger issue here. LeBron was so concerned about Daryl Morey and his comments in China affecting the bottom line that he actually said that maybe freedom of speech is because it comes with consequences. Maybe you should kind of be quiet, especially criticizing a large country, how they sort of, suppress human rights because the bottom line is being affected for basketball. The bottom line is being affected by basketball with a lot of the political statements he's made. Now, again, I'm glad he's making his statements. I'm glad he's participating in the national dialogue. You can agree with him, disagree with him, but I'm glad he's doing it. But at the same time, he is the same guy that wanted a lot of the conversation about China squashed because it affected his pocketbook. This does too. The ratings in the bubble weren't good. They were not good, even though there was an appetite for sports at the time. We had literally gone months and weeks and months without sports. NBA worked really hard to come back, and the numbers weren't there. If the NBA is going to make a bounce back from that, the Brooklyn Nets, Steph Curry and the Warriors, even LeBron, as polarizing as he is, he still draws some eyeballs. They've got to be in this process because the NBA is not going to win the ratings war if Utah and Milwaukee make the NBA finals. If Atlanta and Denver are playing for the championship, that is not sellable to people outside of those of us who love the NBA. It's just as we get to the eve of this play-in tournament that's going to come on Tuesday and Wednesday, to sort of finish out the 7 and 8 seeds. It's interesting to see how this is going to play out for the NBA. These are going to be many, many weeks. A lot of conversation. Game one will be on a Tuesday. Game two of that series will be on a Friday, and there'll be a lot of talking points in between. But as we get closer and closer to weeding out some teams and eliminating some teams and getting to the conference finals, to see who's standing and what the sellable points of those teams will be, I'm going to find it very interesting. Because as much as I love Denver, a team I covered for 10 years, they're not sellable to the rest of America. And as much as I think the Phoenix Suns have been a fantastic story this year, and I love Devin Booker, they're not sellable. You can point to all the great things and all the great statistics you want. They just ain't. They just ain't. I'm interested to see where the NBA will go if indeed we are heading into those kind of conference finals. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. All right, coming up next, we're going to switch gears a little bit, talk about kind of a sad story in the NFL, a hoax that went pretty bad for one potential Atlanta Falcon. That's next as we continue along with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
If you have Apple TV, and I hope you do because Ted Lasso Season 2 is coming, the Beastie Boys story, if you're a Beastie Boys fan, I thought was really great. They talk about this song and how MCA got the riff right. Keeping your car clean is simple, inexpensive maintenance that helps keep your car looking like new. O'Reilly Auto Parts has car wash and wax for painted surfaces, as well as interior car care products like leather and vinyl carpet upholstery cleaner. Visit O'Reilly for Clean Car Month and their professional parts people that make sure you get the best detailing products for your vehicle. Shop your local store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So this story is kind of sad. Did you see this Austin Peay defensive back, Jontarius Bryant? He got a text message from who he thought was Dean Pease, the defensive coordinator of the Falcons, inviting him to attend rookie camp. So he left and went to Flowery Branch for the Wednesday workout last week, only to find out there was no invite by the Falcons, and it was a hoax. He Oof. Got tricked. Like, he. This is really sad.
I hope it wasn't a buddy playing a prank.
Oh, God. Like, some pranks just go way too far. Like, this. Like, when you. If you thought, all right, let's text him and, like, pretend that he's, you know, get him an invite, and you notice that he's packing his bags and he's traveling, you've gone too far. Like, you got to kill that, you know, quickly. Like, he got to the site. And went to check in, and then they told him, "Oh no, that you're not on the list." Can you imagine what that must be? What that? At first, I wonder if his brain was like, "Well, there's a mistake, obviously.
Obviously,
this will get sorted out. I'm obviously, you know, I got an invite, but so let's just sort this out." And then the Falcons are like, "We're sorry, young man. We did not invite you to this." And here was the problem. They couldn't even let him do it because they were under strict rookie camp limitations. They could only work out five people, and they already had their five people. So he had to go back to back home, and that was it. I mean, it's such a sad story.
Do you think they extend an invite when full training camp opens just to see?
I wonder if a team, like his agent, right? His agent kind of said, you know, hey, look, because he wrote a note on social media that was great. He really handled it well. Like, he handled it great. He wasn't mad at anybody. Like, he was like, somebody contacted me from a 404 area code, said that they were Dean Pease, defensive coordinator of the Falcons. I traveled down to the facility. It was embarrassing, but it was humbling as well. I'm ready to move on to my next situation. So he handled it publicly very, very well. His agent says, you know, good things will happen because of this, which I'm hoping his teams will go, man, let's come in and let's see what you can do. This kid who's from Nashville, he played at Austin Peay, which is not far up the road from Nashville. It's in Clarksville, Tennessee. He was a walk-on at Austin Peay who played out of the Ohio Valley Conference. He was an all-conference defensive back. 43 games for the Governors. 8 passes, forced fumbles, interception. I mean, he had a very good college career. But he unfortunately got pranked. That's got to be really sad.
Yeah.
And I feel kind of bad for him. But again, I hope teams will read that and go, nah, what the heck? Let's just bring him in for a
workout. Bring him in, see what happens.
That's all you owe him. Like, you don't owe him a job in the NFL or anything. Like nobody owes him anything, to be honest with you. It was a prank. But you can just go, look, you know what? It doesn't hurt us to take a look at you, and let's give you an opportunity to do what you thought you were going to do when you
were going to the Falcons. Yeah, a little
goodwill. Yeah. Like, whether it's Tennessee or Atlanta or any other team, just goes, you know what? We read the story. You were looking for a workout. We're going to provide you with a workout.
Because you know what? It becomes, I mean, it's, and I don't think a team should look at it as charity either.
No. Bring him in. Just see what he can do.
Yeah.
You know, and then see what happens. But yeah, you're right. They don't.
Because he could shock you. I mean, this could be the beginning of a Disney movie.
That's
right. We don't know.
That's right. That's very true. Hey, speaking of Disney movies, remember you were talking about the young lady with Down syndrome that was playing in that community college golf tournament?
Yes.
The woman that was with Gary Woodland?
Yeah, something. What was her name? Megan.
I wish I could remember her name. It's kind of coming off the top of my head, so I'm going to butcher it a little bit. But
that's fine. Butcher.
I read her story. Like there was a whole write up about, because what happened was the tournament had to make cuts, so she didn't get to complete the tournament. But so they had they went down to the top 24 players due to concerns and whatnot. And so she was, she was part of a large group that was eliminated. But she was a superstar at that tournament. Like, people went to that tournament to watch her play. Like, she had a gallery, and there were houses near the golf course.
Oh,
people came out. Like, her dad, who was caddying for her, said she was signing autographs. She was getting her picture taken. People were flocking to see her. She had a gallery that was moving with her as she went along. People in the houses on the fairways were coming out to see her and take her picture. She was a megastar at this junior college golf tournament.
And that's all you want.
That's really fantastic. I bet that melted his heart to see his girl out there becoming kind of a famous celebrity playing golf. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that she was on ESPN with Gary Woodland on that famous hole at the Phoenix Open, 16th, and making par there. That was kind of cool. So, yeah, you were saying how that could be a kind of a Disney movie in the future.
Disney, Hallmark, Lifetime, I don't know. One of those.
One of those things.
We just kind of use Disney movie as a generic term for same we use Netflix or
very true very
TiVo.
True.
Nobody says TiVo anymore, do
so
they?
Maybe yeah. Nobody uses TiVo. I thought that was going to be revolutionary. Yeah. When I got it, now everybody's got it. Wontarius Bryant of the Austin Peay Governors. I hope it turns into an invincible kind of movie for you where you actually get to try out and make it. Can you imagine if you won a Super Bowl with a key interception? This guy got pranked trying to go to a rookie camp with the Atlanta Falcons.
What's his name? It's not Dan Papale. God, what? Vince Papale.
Vince Papale, yeah.
Vince Papale should reach out to him.
Right, exactly.
Just give him a little bit of advice. Hey, man, don't quit.
But, man, that had to be an awful gut feeling. Like, the excitement that you must have felt getting this invite and then preparing for the invite and then driving down there and, checking in your hotel that you're staying, going to be like, all right, tomorrow morning I'm going to get up, I'm going to go to the camp, and I'm excited. I'm telling all your friends and family. And then you get there and they're like, I don't see your name on this list. And you're like, oh, no, it's got to be on the list. No, I'm sorry, I don't see it. No, it's got to be there. That must have been awful. But at the same time, the way he handled it on social media was pretty impressive, because I don't know what I would have done. I might have sat in the parking lot and wept. They might have social media pictures of me crying in the parking lot.
Gone to IHOP or Waffle House.
Right. Just drown my sorrows in syrup and pancakes.
Yep, exactly.
Right? I thought I was going to be a Falcon.
How do I go back home?
No.
Do you pull off the ruse that, hey, no, though, they gave me a try. I'm staying here for another week.
Right? That's a good point. What do you do? You tell it immediately, or do you just eventually go, I didn't, I got pranked.
Yeah.
It's terrible. All right, coming up, a heartwarming reunion of two of the most iconic figures in sports as we continue along. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Wake Up Call SportsNap Radio. If you'd like to hit the show, you can do so at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Free all deep penetrating oil spreads deep into rusted or frozen parts, freeing them with ease. The three-part formula delivering three times more lubricant. It takes less spray, less torque, and less time than any other penetrating oil to get the job done. Free all is also body shop safe, which means that it's safe on paint, plastic parts, silicon-free. Some of the popular uses for Freeall: seized engines, rusted nuts and bolts, axle nut removal, rusty chains and gears, pillow blocks, threaded pipe connectors. So again, three times more lubricant, so less spray, less torque, and less time. Freeall Deep Penetrating Oil, available on the shelves of AutoZone, O'Reilly, NAPA. Also select Walmart stores. That's Freeall Deep Penetrating Oil. All right, so this next story has had a lot of people kind of excited, because if you were a college basketball fan, especially in the 90s, you know how important the Fab Five were. And you probably know that Chris Webber and Jalen Rose had not been on speaking terms for a long time. But because of the Basketball Hall of Fame and the class of 2021, they reunited and they came together and they talked on television. And now it looks like they've sort of mended their differences and have come together. And this is kind of cool, because with Juwan Howard, the head coach at Michigan right now, look, the Fab Five were probably the most influential group of athletes that we've had in the last 30 years in terms of their style, their swagger, the way they played basketball. They were extremely popular. They took the game to another place in terms of getting eyeballs to the sport. There's still, even what, 30 something years later, there's still recognized as one of the greatest collection of freshmen to have ever played college basketball. They went to the national championship in two seasons, losing both, one to Duke, and of course the famous one to North Carolina, which Chris Webber called timeout without any available. But the sort of contention was when Webber he had this relationship with Ed Martin, who was a Michigan booster. Back in 2003, Webber pleaded guilty to criminal contempt, and he admitted giving about $38,000 to Martin in 1994 as partial payment for a loan. And that put that scandal really put Michigan in the crosshairs of the NCAA. He was banned from associating with the Michigan basketball program for 10 years, and that's why the Final Four banners had been removed from their arena. So I think it's important, because these guys grew up together. They're part of Detroit basketball. They're part of Michigan, of course, college basketball lore. And I know there was some real deep issues between the two. Rose created a 30 for 30 on the Fab Five, and Webber wasn't a part of it. Now Webber has got one coming up, another documentary coming up that he's doing with Juwan Howard. But that 30 for 30 was really good. It was too bad Webber wasn't involved in it, whether he wanted to talk about the timeout or not, it's that would have been up to him. But it would have been interesting to have everybody's involvement in that 30 for 30. Because, look, you know, I grew up at a time where the Fab Five really were extremely important to college basketball. I mean, they really changed the style, the look, and the feel of the sport. I mean, that team, it's really amazing that team did not win a national title, but they sort of came in at a juggernaut time with Leitner and Duke, and then, of course, North Carolina winning. I thought they would beat North Carolina in 93. I really did. I did not think they would beat Duke, but I thought in 93 they would absolutely beat North Carolina. And North Carolina was strong, but I thought that they would win that, and they didn't. But I always thought them, if they could have found a way to win a championship, the two Final Fours, what a legacy that would have had. Look, Leitner's legacy in college basketball is incredible. Four Final Fours, two national championships. But as far as a group of players, you know, if they had won a title with the two Final Fours and being so culturally significant to the sport of college basketball, I mean, they were the first ones to wear the baggy shorts, right? I mean, they really, or at least they claim that they were the first ones to wear the baggy shorts. They probably were, but I'm sure you could find some pictures and videos of some others wearing it. But they took it to because all five of them did it, and the notoriety that got. If you were a player wearing baggy shorts in the 90s, you didn't do it because some player in 1982 for North Carolina grabbed a pair of baggy shorts. You did it because they did it. You did it because they were the important team. And you know what else, too? And again, if you go back to the early 90s, there was there was a group of people, large group of people that were looking for a team to root for because they didn't want to root for Duke, right? Like Duke was sort of, you know, they were like the villain of college basketball, and the Fab Five were really fun. They were really fun. But, I mean, I remember talking to Billy Packer about this years ago. He did not like the Fab Five. He did not like their influence on the sport. He didn't like what they meant to the sport. They had plenty of detractors. But I wasn't one of them. I mean, I think you have a little bit more. I mean, Billy Packer was a broadcaster at the time, and he was more entrenched in college basketball than I was in the early 90s. I mean, I was still a student. So to me, I'm more influenced on how I viewed that team as a young person rather than as an adult seeing some of the scandal and whatnot. I just remember really liking them. I remember my friends really liking them and really rooting for their success. So for me to see Jalen Rose and Chris Webber come together and become friends again with the fact that Juwan Howard is leading Michigan right now. And now you can start seeing maybe a reunion of sorts coming together to help the Michigan program. Listen, I'm for that. I'm for that. So I was glad to see it.
I always felt like it was the birth of Kentucky in a way.
Yeah, right.
What John Calipari all of a sudden started doing, because you know he would just go and recruit ones and dones.
Yeah.
No, a cult following.
Oh, really? They were incredible. I mean, you want to talk about, remember how earlier in the show I was talking about how you have athletes that are stars in the sports world, but then a lot of them transcend and become just stars socially, like where everybody, these guys were almost on that level as college athletes.
Yeah. I mean, if we had social media back then, I think they would have been much bigger.
Everyone
would have followed. We would have wanted to know every single thing about them.
Yeah, they were really close. I mean, I don't know if they really crossed over, but they were really close because you had politicians that talked about them. You had actors and actresses talking about them. You had rap stars and musicians talking about them. Like they were on everybody's counter. Like during the college basketball season, there was so much attention that was on that program for five young men from Detroit basketball taking over the Michigan program and the country in terms of college hoops. I mean, they were that important to college basketball. And they still ride it. Look, they both had – Jalen Rose and Chris Webber have had fantastic NBA careers. They really have. They had fantastic NBA careers. Juwan Howard had a very long and successful NBA career. I don't think people go up to them and talk to them about what they did in the NBA. I do not when they meet fans. I mean, I don't think there are people who go up to Chris Webber and go, "Man, I remember when you played for Sacramento, man. It was." I think whenever they meet the general public, everybody goes, "Man, your Michigan teams were the best thing I ever saw when I was."
That's it. That's it. Right? I mean, it's Fab Five. I mean, yep. Juwan Howard, I think, played on every team in the NBA. So
I know.
Everyone's a fan of him. But
I remember going to a Juwan Howard coat drive at a Nuggets game when the Nuggets were terrible, and he had a coat drive. He had one game where if you brought a coat, you could get a free ticket to the game. And like, he came out and he spoke to the crowd, thanking them for this coat drive for the people of Denver and whatnot. And then he just left. Then he went on to play for somewhere else. He was like, whatever, however long he was in Denver, then he was off to another team. But to me, those guys are just so much more recognizable for what they did in college basketball than anything.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Chris Webber was the biggest star that came out of that, but it was, it never amounted to anything in the NBA.
Right.
I mean, it came close a couple of times, but that was it.
But that was it. That was it. They were, again, fantastic careers, but they never turned into mega NBA stars, but they certainly had college basketball right on the edge. I mean, it was as fun college hoops because you, especially me, look, I'm not going to say everybody rooted for them. I know there are people who didn't root for them. I did. I did root for them. I hated Duke. Okay.
Yeah.
I rooted for them all the time.
A large swath of Michigan State fans never rooted for them.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. Very true. I wanted another team to burst the Duke bubble at the time. I really wanted that. A team to come in and take over college basketball and be the team that you had to beat, because Duke owned it then, and I didn't want them to own it at all. Michael on Twitter, for our generation, the Fab Five was the essence of cool. That's exactly right. That is so true. And you know what? not enough credit is given to Steve Fisher on how he handled that with those guys. They love Steve Fisher. Steve Fisher loved them. He handled that great. Not a lot of coaches are built to have the sort of wherewithal to understand what was coming at them on a daily basis, what they were dealing with on a daily basis, and sort of keeping that team in check, right? Keeping the egos in check, keeping them grounded, keeping them guided. Steve Fisher did a good job. He let them be who they were. He let them enjoy being celebrities. He let them enjoy the spotlight. But that team never fell apart. That team never unraveled and you know, sort of had issues. You know, a lot of the issues just came later with the Ed Martin scandal. Like, they rallied around Chris Webber. I mean, they did. They rallied around Chris Webber. I can't imagine. You've grown up with these guys. They've been part of your life forever. You know their families. They know your families. And here's one of your friends, one of your brothers, make this big, huge mistake on the national stage. And they rallied around him. They really did. So it was kind of warmed when I saw that they were coming
and
together.
Unfortunately, that's the play that everyone remembers.
All the time, yeah.
That's the one that's always shown in the highlight films. It's, you know, I mean, no one, you can't even remember what happened before that happened.
Exactly.
You know, what led to that moment.
That was too bad that there was such a beef between these two guys that Webber didn't participate in the 30 for 30. I know it's still sensitive to him to talk about it, but at least he could have participated and said, look, I'm going to tell you where I was in that huddle. I didn't hear that we didn't have a timeout. Or I was told there was. I was told by an assistant there was. Whatever his story is, that he could have added flavor to the 30 for 30. Yeah, I thought the 30-30 was great. I thought it really was great.
And unfortunately for Webber, he couldn't say, I had a J.R. Smith moment. Sorry.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah,
there was no such thing then.
Right. So, again, yeah, that's very true. Very true. Well, again, very heartwarming to see those two come together. All right, it is Wake Up Call again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue with Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage to fit your life? Rocket can. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up in hour number two. So are you confident, Ron, of the Lakers' championship run this with LeBron back and healthy? I mean, or is it just too much of a hill to climb and you're a little nervous? Have you thought about this?
I've had time to process it because the writing was on the wall. I mean, even if they did all the things they were supposed to, which they did, it still wasn't in their hands. You know, they needed Portland to lose last night, which Portland didn't do because Denver was like, we
Yeah, Denver had nothing to play for, and they were just like, everybody sit.
Yeah, everybody sit. Let's get healthy. And at the same time, make the Lakers have a play game. I know that was talked about.
I'm sure it was. I'm sure I'm sure the Nuggets gladly participated in that, too.
Yeah. So that's I feel confident that they can get by Curry, even though Curry has gone next level again. And it's a one-game situation, so that should bode well. And it's at home.
Yeah.
But I don't feel that strong. I mean, I want to believe, but you know, LeBron and Davis, they've been injured too much. And for Anthony Davis, I don't know if he's going to make it through an entire game.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's the
absolutely
problem. I have a feeling LeBron will push through and he can do it. I just don't know about Anthony Davis.
You think I do not want to throw this conspiracy out there, but I will anyway. What the heck? You think Denver threw that game last night?
Yes.
Right? I mean, like, I don't want to play the Lakers.
No, and it's a perfect situation.
Like, Jokic played 20 minutes.
Yeah, and because it's a perfect situation.
17, I think, actually.
They can't move up. They can't move down.
Nope.
And it's
you can affect your opponent.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
lose, you get Portland. Win, you could get the Lakers.
Right. And so why not just sit everybody and go, you know what, we'd rather face Portland in a series, first round series, than we would the Lakers.
Because LeBron has shown time and time again that when he gets to the postseason, this other gear kicks in and he carries teams and he makes team players play better. And all of a sudden you go, oh man, do I really want to face that buzzsaw? I don't really know what I'm getting.
No,
I can
don't.
Say
you
all I want about LeBron being healthy and Anthony Davis and all the things that we're mentioning. But when I see LeBron in the postseason, all he does is lead teams to the finals.
Exactly.
All the time.
Or if he doesn't lead us, he's going to max us out.
Right.
And you know, we're not going to be a better team for it. We're not going to be able to you know, rest comfortably in a game or two because, you know, it's, you know, it's wire to wire. It's full 48 minutes.
I see a lot of Memphis Grizzlies basketball here. They're the one NBA team that I get. And I have a ton of respect for Greg Popovich and San Antonio. I don't want to see either one of those teams as a 7-8. I want Lakers and Golden State. The NBA desperately needs these two teams to be in the first
round.
Well,
I mean, and that's the game everyone's paying attention to for the playing games.
Could you
tell me who the other ones are? Not really.
Well, I can because I'm looking at it.
I know you can. But off the
Memphis,
top of your
San
head,
Antonio, Boston, Washington, Indiana, Charlotte.
Yeah, but off the top of your head, if you go down the street and say, hey, who's in the play-in game? Everyone will say, Lakers, Warriors.
Well, I heard the Lakers and Warriors are playing. Yes, they
can't believe they're in a play-in game.
Yeah,
they're two great
teams. That's right.
And then if you're the Suns, you got to be hating life, too.
Oh,
you get
absolutely.
The winner.
You get the winner of that? Oh, my God.
Yay.
Seriously. Like, again, it's... Series are so cool because they are a long time and you take adjustments and then the other team makes adjustments and then you make adjustments. And there's usually a couple of games for you to watch more film because you're just all you're doing for basically 2 weeks is concentrating on one team. That's it. So all sorts of things can come out rather like in the regular season when you show up for one game and then split. If you're Phoenix, you are going to really have to figure out one of these teams when. Especially the Lakers who come in with so many question marks. But, man, I wouldn't want to touch Golden State and Steph Curry right now, even in a series where he may not have the backup crew he used to have.